Holly Niner, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've been turning out some fine children's books in the past few years, two in the last year, as a matter of fact. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When did your love of the story all begin?
I read books all the time as a child. My parents read to me, and I always had a book. Books were a present that we got. In school, I read so much that the librarian suggested a friend and I take our books out together because we would trade books halfway through the week, or we would each run out of books.
So fair and square, we might say it's a passion, maybe even an addiction, and a great one.
Yes, it is. I would say.
So when did the passion or addiction for writing stories kick in?
Really not until my children were probably toddlers. At that point, my mother actually sent me an aptitude test for a correspondence writing course. People today probably don't remember correspondence courses. And I took that course, and that was part of what got me going.
Well, I'm glad it did. You specialize in picture book stories.
Picture books, yes.
And each of them actually addresses some specific and important aspect of growing up, or maybe a problem that a young one can have growing up. How do you choose your topics?
So story ideas come in a lot of different ways. My first book was about a child with OCD, and that happened because our son has OCD. And at the time when he was small, I used books to help explain things to our children, and I didn't find a book to help him or his younger sister understand what he was dealing with. The second book was about Tourette's syndrome, kind of the same idea. The two books that came out this year are actually more fun picture books, but often messages do get woven into a story. Mm-hmm. The Day I Ran Away actually came from an America's Funniest Home Video clip I saw, where a little boy was standing outside crying with a backpack saying, "How can I run away if I'm not allowed to cross the street?" And when I see something like that, I often just make a little note and it percolates. No More Noisy Nights actually came from a book that a first grade teacher might have of writing prompts. And the prompt was, write a note to the monster under your bed. And again, that kind of stuck in my mind, and eventually a story came from that idea.
All really helpful for learning to get past those young years.
I hope so, yes.
That's great. Okay, once you have your idea, Holly, what's your formula for turning it into reality and turning it into a book?
First, a lot of time, of course, is spent on the story. I often don't even write right away. I might have an idea that just kind of churns around for a while. Often you write it out and totally change it later. Once it becomes a story you think has merit, then you research publishers to send it to. And if you're lucky enough to have it picked, then really the work begins again, because in a picture book, the two books coming out this year are probably around 400 words. Every word counts. And so revisions begin again with an editor's eye and illustrators found. I don't have anything to do with that. The editor chooses the illustrator. And it's kind of her vision that I get to comment on. But she's the one who kind of pulls together the words and the pictures to create a book they hope will sell.
So it's certainly teamwork, but you have to be self-editing again. 400 words, that's, of course, probably the exact right amount, but how do you figure out which to choose carefully?
that's hard to know. A true picture book is when the pictures tell part of the story. Illustrated books are where the illustration just goes along, maybe shows, think of child craft books or something like that. So in a true picture book, you actually sometimes are taking out words to let the illustration show that part of the story. You want the child to use both things to understand the story. So sometimes you lose words for that reason. Oh, we could show that in the illustration. We don't need those words. Sometimes it's the tired extra words. You don't need very and really, really, and unless that's what the character is like or their language is like.
So it sounds like quite a specific combination of all of the above that goes together to tell an impactful story.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable as you have now completed four of them?
Yeah, I mean, when I get a story, I'm thinking about what would be illustrated. Picture books are generally 32 pages, and not all of those are the story. And so you're even thinking, do I have enough of a story to fill a 32-page book? Do I have page turns that would make it interesting? Are there enough illustrative things to make it visually interesting also?
Again, this is all the winning recipe, the winning combination.
You hope so. Then you're competing with all the other stories. So
indeed, and it is quite a competitive market, mm-hmm. and there are plenty of books out there. Of course, you want to get your work published, but mm-hmm. you also want to make it the best it can be.
Right, right.
Can you actually picture the book in your mind's eye before it's written and illustrated?
I really try not to do that so that I'm not disappointed maybe by the illustrations. I did a lot of magazine writing also in kids' magazines, and those usually are more what we would call illustrated. They've picked one moment from the story maybe, and I was always kind of thrilled to see what aspect of the story did they choose to illustrate. In the picture books, I don't want to have pictured one thing and totally something else comes. So I try not to have a big idea. In No More Noisy Nights, though, which is a mole that lives underground, I certainly was picturing three levels of a house to explore. And I did express that to the editor early on. So we both started with kind of that vision for it.
Otherwise, it's a pleasant surprise, we hope pleasant, to you as well as it is the reader.
Right, right. One of the things you learn when you're wanting to write for children, and I do a lot of reading about writing for children and about the business of selling books. One of the things they tell you is read what you want to write. So I read a lot of picture books, and picture books have changed a lot. Even since I was a child, when they were more likely to be maybe 1,200 words, and now they're more likely to be 800 tops. And so you need to read what's being written. And that also helps you pick publishers. Who publishes the kind of thing you're writing?
That's all savvy information, and thank you for that. Storytelling is an ancient custom, certainly trending now for all ages. That's quite interesting. To you, why is it so vital, especially in the 21st century?
Gosh, I think stories are a way for anyone, but particularly children, to explore things that they don't have access to every day. Different cultures, different emotions. In picture books, particularly, often the main character is an animal. And that's because you wouldn't have a picture book with a child who lives alone, like Jackson the Mole does. But a mole Yes. can live alone. And a mole can explore fears and things that now the child can learn how he handled them in a safe way. They're not worried about, oh, that poor child who's living alone. It's a cute mole. So I think we need to use books to help kids understand their emotions, other people, other cultures, and then how to deal with things like that. And the books about OCD and Tourette's, I know a lot of families I hear from use those to explain the disorder. So their child takes it into class, even uses it to explain it to family members. I've had adults who have OCD, purchase the book to explain themselves to their children.
That's great.
So yeah, I guess when new things arise, we do need literature to go along with that.
As a matter of fact, you've received many accolades for your books, including those that focus on the disabilities, the special needs, over and above the social skills that young kids can certainly benefit from. How does it make you feel to be a part of those authors that are addressing the hard-to-address issues?
Oh, it's a good feeling. To have others recognize your work certainly is a great feeling, but truly the best is when the kids do. When I hear from parents, particularly with the books about OCD and Tourette's and what it meant for their children, that's really a good feeling. And I go into schools and do visits as an author, and those kids, you know, look at you like you're a star, which you know you're not.
They know you are.
And that's a great feeling, too. I had a little girl slip me a little ripped off piece of paper as she left the room that said, I love you one day. Those are what really makes me enjoy sharing my work.
I know you've received at least one award that was labeled gold, but that sounds like solid gold.
That's right. That's what counts.
And now that you are up to 2 books a year, Holly, are you on a roll? Are you going to continue at that kind of pace?
I wish I could, but that's really up to the publishing world. My first 2 books came out in 2004 and 2005, and now it's 2017. So that'll give you an idea. It's a very competitive world. The publisher who published my 2 current books publishes about 2 books a year. They probably get several thousand submissions a year. All of them aren't bad, obviously. So it's not always easy to get your books recognized. I'm hoping that these 2 coming out will open some new doors.
Indeed, and we hope they do too. In the meantime, are you ever afraid you're going to run out of ideas?
You know, sometimes you think that, and then something pops into your head, and you're like, okay, I will have another idea.
So it's obvious how much kids and their parents get from your wonderful stories, Holly. Now, we'd all like to know, what's the most important thing that you get from creating them and publishing them?
Well, I think because I loved books and my children loved books. We read constantly. They could always talk me into buying a book. Not much else, but a book. Yeah, sure. Put it in the cart. To be able to write a book and know that someone enjoys it and maybe asks for it over and over again at bedtime, that is why I do it. That's what makes it special. I see that sometimes when I do readings at a bookstore, and I had one little girl who couldn't get close enough to me in the book. That's what you want to see.
Holly Niner is a Fort Wayne resident, originally from New York State, and author of 4 delightful kids' books. Holly, thank you so much for sharing your own story with us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I really enjoyed it.